Jaya Radha Madhava Kuncha Vihari. Gopi Janapalabha Giribhartari. Yasharandana Vajajana Vanjana Chamunatira Banachari Jayarada Madhavam Kunjabihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para, Jaya Prabhu Para. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paraman Saprayapa Chakachaya Asyotasara Shishimad Bhakti Paranta Swami Shira Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the Assam devotees. All glories to the Assam devotees. All glories to the Assam devotees. Glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 23, Devahuti's Lamentation, text number 25 to 27. I'll read 25, 26, and we will chant 27. Angam chamalapankena sanchanam shabalastanam avivesha-saraswatya sarashiva jalashyam. Her body was coated with a thick layer of dirt, and her breasts were discolored. She dove, however, into the lake, which contained the sacred waters of the Saraswati. Shanta sarasiveshmasta satani dasakanyakaha saraha kishoravayasa dadarshat palagantaya. In a house inside the lake, she saw 1,000 girls, all in the prime of youth and fragrant like lotuses. Okay, so we will chant this one. Tam dishtva sahasottaya prochu pranjalaya striha vayam karma karishtupyam shahina karavama kim tam dishtva sahasottaya prochu pranjalaya striha vayam karma karishtupyam shahina karavama kim tangishta sasottaya prochu pranjalaya striha vayam karma karishtupyam Shahina Karavama Kim. Chan. Jaya Striya Karma Karishtupyam Shatina Karavamakim Tam Her Dishtva See Sasa Suddenly Utaya Rising Prochu They said Pranjalaya, with folded hands. Striya, the damsels. Vayam, we. Karmakari, maidservants, tubyam, for you, shadhi, please tell, naha, us, karvama, we can do, kim, what? Translation. Seeing her, the damsel suddenly rose and said with folded hands, we are your maidservants. Tell us what we can do for you. Purport. While Devahuti was thinking of what to do in that great palace in her dirty clothes, there were at once by the yogic powers of Kardam Muni 1,000 maidservants prepared to serve her. They appeared before Devahuti within the water and presented themselves as her maidservants, simply awaiting her orders. Mukam karati vachalam bangam langa deginim yakipam taham bande shigurum ditarvinam om agyana timirandasya gyananjara shalakaya chakshamilitam yena tasamai shikurave namaha. So, in Bhagavad Gita, it is said, nanyaschintayantamam yech. Okay, let me look it up. Hold on. Oh, yeah, go ahead. Ananyas chintayantomam yejana payupasate tesha nityabhyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. So anyone who worships me with great faith, with great devotional service, meditating on my transcendental form, to him I carry what you lack and I preserve what you have. So, Devahuti, she gave her whole life serving her husband, actually he's a Vaishnava, and he even got darshan of the Lord. So she was doing Vaishnava seva, and she was completely, her health was finished and everything. But then, all of a sudden, she got help. So, actually it's very interesting, because when I was studying this chapter of this part of Bhagavatam, I also had a health remake, actually. I went to Jagannath Puri and had a health makeover. Whatever I study, I go through, it seems. but also what I can say is that if you give your life to Krishna, then Krishna will take care of you. In your old age, when I was like younger, like in my 40s, somebody was saying, what are you going to do for your old age? I said, well, you know, Krishna's taking care of me now, and he'll take care of me when I'm old too. And it's true. It's happening. So I don't have 1,000 beautiful maidservants, but wherever I go, I get help. Somebody's always there to help me. Even I travel alone on the plane, and strangers, they look at me and they, oh, can I help you with your luggage? Can I, you know. It's like it works because the whole world is your family. When you're just depending on Krishna, then everyone helps you, you know. And Krishna sends somebody to help you. So because we are serving Srila Prabhupada, then we have that blessing that we are serving the Vaishnava. So Prahlad Maharaj, he glorifies his guru Narada Muni when he was praying to Lord Nrisimhadev. He said that, oh, my Lord, because of my association with material desires one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he comments that even though Prahlad was directly offered all benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Lord. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. So he was face to face. He could have said, okay, here we are together. What can I do for you, Lord? No, no. What can I do for my guru, Narada Muni? Well, he saved me. What can I do for him? This is a symptom of pure devotee, Prabhupada says. One should serve spiritual master first, It is not one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not a principle for a Vaishnava. Britya Sevam. The Vaishnava, he does not approach Krishna directly. He goes through the Guru first. And that's why it's very nice in this temple. I think it's the only temple in the world that when you announce who dressed the deities, who assisted their spiritual master in dressing the deities today. So we do that. We don't, you know, we do serve directly, actually, Krishna, but it, not really. It's through the spiritual master. We are assisting. It's his service, and we're just helping him. So, yes. So this is Prahlad Maharaj's, and this is our position also, that we need to serve the servant of Krishna. And so Prahlad Maharaj is a Shaktivesh avatar, according to Prabhupada in his lecture in Mayapur, 1976. But even though he's a Shaktivesh avatar, he says, how can I give up the service of my guru, Narada Muni? Here's what Prabhupada says. My Lord Nrisimhadev, I'm now so competent. Give me your service directly. No, no. And this we see in Vrindavan, the Sahajiyas, they think, oh, yes, we are serving Krishna directly. Yes, yes, it's me and Krishna. We got our Siddha Pranali. And it was so funny. I was giving a class to the Bhakti Center online in New York. And somebody asked me, do you know what your rasa with Krishna is? And I said, well, you know, I'm just trying to be a devotee at this point. And they said, well, this bhakta, he knows. He's some kind of bird. And I should have said, but I didn't, was he better not practice flying. Because we did have such, even when Prabhupada was here, we had such a devotee who thought he was a peacock. And he was practicing in Vrindavan. Anyway, no, that's not us. We go through the guru. And then we're safe. It's Prabhupada. Prabhupada is taking us. And he's when we're ready, when we're chanting on the proper level, we will know our identity, what is our service with Krishna. Right now, we are Prabhupada's dogs. And it's good if we stay like that for our whole life. Because then we can be sure to get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Prahlada is our guru. He's teaching us, even though he's 5 years old, boy, he's teaching us how to be a devotee. And then Prabhupada, again, in this lecture on his prayers, he said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, we should always pray, Vaishnava Thakur Tomor Kukur Bolia Janaho More. My dear Vaishnava, kindly accept me as your dog. So the dog is very obedient, so we have to learn this lesson from the dog. Be obedient to Srila Prabhupada. Be faithful to Srila Prabhupada. And then you can learn something. So Prahlad was detached from his own enjoyment, but he was attached to the service of Narada Muni, his guru. And yes, there was a verse somewhere, and I have it. 3:20-25, okay, previous chapter. Every learned man knows very well, attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Good to be attached. Yeah, it's a funny thing happened a few days ago when my son got married. My grandson, Prana, very attached to his father. He wouldn't leave him even during the whole marriage. He was part of the ceremony. So one other devotee, his name is Madhu from West Coast. He was visiting us with his wife, who is the sister of the bride. And we were at the beach, and he was telling Prana, you know what a barnacle is? A barnacle is something that clings to a rock and doesn't let go. And then Prana said, yes, I'm a barnacle to my father, Govinda. Because he doesn't, it's true. He wakes up in the morning, and from the time, he just clings to him the whole day. And if he doesn't see him, if he left already, he starts screaming and shouting. Anyway, yeah, so we should be attached like that to Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. We should be like a barnacle or a dog at Prabhupada's lotus feet. And so, yes, Kunti was like that too. She wanted to be attached to Krishna, though, and because she was with Krishna. But we cannot imitate Kunti Devi and pray for calamities. We have enough. When I was in Vrindavan, I probably told this story before, a lot of devotees come to Vrindavan to leave their bodies. So there was this one lady, Nanda. Actually, you know, her son, I think, is... Yeah, Vishambhar is her son. And she came to Vrindavan to leave her body. She had multiple sclerosis. And it took her 20 years to leave her body in Vrindavan. But in the meantime, sometimes she couldn't walk, sometimes she couldn't chant her japa, so she was not so regular in her sadhana. But she was trying to chant, she was trying to hear every day. And so just before she left her body, she had a vision that she was walking on the path back to Godhead with Srila Prabhupada. And both sides of the path, people were criticizing, no, she can't go, she's a woman. No, she didn't chant her japa properly. No, she didn't go to temple every day. No, she can't go. So Prabhupada turned to the people and said, it's okay, she's with me. There you go. So just stay with Prabhupada and he will take you. And he promised that in a few lectures. One was Jayapataka Maharaj, where Jayapataka Maharaj tells a story. Prabhupada was saying, you have to be 100% free of material desires before you go back to Godhead. And all the devotees were hanging their heads. And then he said, okay, 90%. They were hanging their heads still. And he said, okay, 80% free. And then he went off the Vyasa Sun and looked back, 75%. And that's nishta. That's nashta presha badeshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamashnoke bhaktir bhavati. Naishtiki. So nishta means almost all the abhadras, the bad things, are gone. And in his lecture, again, on that verse, Srila Prabhupada said 75%. What is that 75%? That's passion and ignorance. At least we should come to the mode of goodness. And then Prabhupada will do the rest, like we said. I carry what you lack, and I preserve what you have. And so, yes, we can just stay with Prabhupada and try our best. And why is it better to be servant of the servant than to serve Krishna directly? Because the devotee is more merciful than Krishna. I think in Gita, let me look it up in Gita, there's one purport in the back, very back, in 1860. Well, the verse is 1867 that Krishna says, this confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere or devoted or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. Krishna is very heavy. There you go. But Prabhupada is more merciful. And in the purport of 71, Prabhupada says, in the 67th verse of this chapter, the Lord explicitly forbade the Gita's being spoken to those who are envious of the Lord. In other words, Bhagavad Gita is for the devotees only. But it so happens that sometimes a devotee of the Lord will hold open class, and in that class, not all the students are expected to be devotees. Why do such persons hold open class? It is explained here that although not everyone is a devotee, still there are many men who are not envious of Krishna. They have faith in him as the supreme personality of Godhead. So then, so that was Prabhupada for us, and that's how we have to be too for everyone else in the world who is drowning in the ocean of material existence. So why is it better to be servant of the servant? So first of all, a devotee is more merciful. So Prabhupada said, Krishna says that, but the devotee, he can override Krishna's statement sometimes in Bhagavad Gita. And another reason is that Krishna is more pleased when you serve the servant than if you serve him directly. And another thing, if you follow the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, in Parampara, you will get more mercy. There's so many other acharyas, previous acharyas, who get all their mercy too, because you're connected with Srila Prabhupada. That was the verse 7928. Now 7929 explains another reason why it's better to serve a devotee, be servant of the servant. And Prahlad says, "My Lord, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword." He had said very angrily, "If there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. I should all sever your head from your body." Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So another reason why it's better to be servant of the servant, if the servant says something, Krishna must uphold it. Krishna must make it true. They say, "Oh, yes." So how did Nrisingadev prove true the words of his, actually two devotees? It's Narada Muni, he proved true his words. Because when Hiranyakashipu was out doing austerities, his wife Kayadu, she got captured by the demigods, and they wanted to kill the baby in the womb. So she prayed to Narada for protection. Narada took her to his ashram, and she prayed, "Please protect my son." And Narada said, "Yes, Prahlad will always be saved from the enemy's hands." So when Hiranyakashipu was going to kill Prahlad, the Lord saved Prahlad to fulfill his promise. Also in Bhagavad Gita, "My devotee shall never perish." So then the saving of Prahlad, and then there's the killing of Hiranyakashipu. He kept the words of Lord Brahma also, that not the day, not the night, not on land, not in the ocean, not in the air. So all these things, he kept the words of his devotees. Although Hiranyakashipu thought he was very intelligent, he could not overcome the devotee's words. Now, very interesting thing that on this verse 7929, lecture Mayapur 76, Prabhupada said, "To serve the servant of Krishna is better than to serve directly Krishna, because if the servant of Krishna promises something, then if Krishna's servant says, 'I'll take you to Krishna Loka,' you must go there. Even Krishna cannot do that." And Prabhupada said, "If devotee says, then you have to go." So I know a few times when Prabhupada said that. I know when we were in Calcutta, there were one devotee called Shaya, and she was going out preaching, and he said because of that, she would go in this life, called Shaya. And then at the first Ratiyata, the very first, there were some hippies helping out with the Ratiyatra. And after the Ratiyatra, that was the second one, actually. Second one, when Prabhupada was there. First one, he wasn't there because he was sick. But the second one, he was there in San Francisco. And then there, everyone, after the Ratiyatra, everyone's sitting on the beach, and Prabhupada was looking around, and he was looking at everyone, the hippies, the devotees, and he said, "So, whoever has helped this Ratiyatra will go back to Godhead in this life." And the devotees were looking at the drugged out hippie saying, "Really?" They're going to go. Also, anyway, Krishna has to make his words come true. Another one was Mr. Sethi in Juhu, Bombay. He was a construction person. And when we came to Juhu, it was very, very bad. We had no place to live, basically. There was one hut for the men, ladies around the roof of a building. And so this man built rooms on top of the apartments in the back. We had apartments. You can't kick out. In India, the law is if you kick someone out, you have to pay them the full value of the apartment if they buy it. And then you can kick them out. So they didn't have any money to do that. So he built rooms on top of the apartments for us. And so then one day he came to see Srila Prabhupada, covered with concrete and dust, all dirty. And Prabhupada said, "Just like you are building rooms for my disciples, so Krishna is building your room in Goloka Vrindavan." And so Mr. Sethi said, how can that be? I'm so sinful, I cannot go. He didn't take initiation or even stop drinking tea, I think. But Prabhupada said, "That I will see." All right, there you go. He will see. And so he has left his body, and we know where he went, because Prabhupada said, I will see. So yes, the devotee can even change the words of Krishna. And so, like, in my life, I did have experience with Srila Prabhupada, but most of it was in separation, like now. So Lord Chaitanya teaches us that the highest form of love is love in separation. So we are now serving Srila Prabhupada, all of us, in separation from him. But even when Prabhupada was here, most of us, you know, were 5,000. How is he going to be everywhere? He would travel. Devotees would compete to get him. Okay, if you come to our temple, we will distribute, we will double our book distribution if you come to our temple. Or we will have Rath Yatra. Or, you know, they will invite, like, important people. Oh, yeah, the prime minister or the king or some, the mayor of the city is waiting to meet you, you know. And then they would get Prabhupada to come. That's how they did it. How we did it, actually. So even like before I joined it, I joined in separation from Srila Prabhupada because I was coming to the temple for about 3 months. And then after that, the devotees said, Prabhupada is coming. Why don't you stay the weekend? So I stayed the weekend. Prabhupada didn't come. He phoned up and said, oh, I can't come. Instead, I'm sending 4 sannyasis. That was Brahmananda, Gargamuni, Subal, and Vishnujan Maharaj. So we were out on the streets chanting the whole weekend. And I was so happy. I said, I'm so happy. Why should I go back home? So I went and said goodbye to my husband, and I joined. He joined 2 months later. so anyway, that worked out. But it was in separation. Prabhupada, he gave me the push, even though he didn't come. He just said he was coming. And that was enough for me to join. And not only me, like 4 or 5 other people never went back home that weekend. That was it for us. We stayed in the temple. So, you know, my main association was Prabhupada's books. And we didn't have many, just a few books when I joined. But by the time I joined, whatever he had, I already read them 5 times in those 3 months before the Gita. We had Gita, First Canto Bhagavatam, Ishopanishad, teachings of Lord Chaitanya. It's all we had. And then after I joined, after 1 month, we got Krishna book. So that was it. And so I was very, very attached to the books. And so we had, before I went to India in 1972, I had the first 6 chapters of Canto 2. They were printing, BBT was printing chapter by chapter. So up to chapter 6, they printed. And so it was time for association. Time for initiation from Prabhupada. And I was 2 months ahead of my husband. So Satsira Prabhu Maharaj, he said, oh, why don't you wait 2 months more for your husband? I said, okay. And after 2 months, I asked my husband, let's get initiated. He said, I'm not ready. I said, well, I'm not waiting for you any longer. And I wrote a letter to Prabhupada and sent my beads. We had to make our own beads and send them with a letter. And in the letter, I quoted from Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, you know, about how if you don't get the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee on your head, then you're like a dead body. And I said to Prabhupada, if you don't initiate me, I'm just like a dead body. So he gave me a letter, and he gave me 6 instructions, chant at least 16 rounds, follow strictly regular principles, go for sankirtan, preaching, do deity worship, read and study all my books. So those 5, I mean, all of those I did. And then the last one, like I was 7 years pujari, 7 years distributing books. And then from 1994, I've been studying and teaching. So the last one is still yet to come, 24 hours be engaged. Maybe bhajan, I don't know. It's not working, it's not happening yet. Sometimes I dream, but not always. And then after that, after a month later, I got another letter from Prabhupada saying how to do that service. 3 things I need to qualify. I need to be qualified. 3 more things: be enthusiastic, be sincere, and cooperate with the other devotees. And that was the hardest one, cooperation. Always cooperate with the other devotees. Yeah, I'm still trying that one. So, yes, that was in separation. I got initiated by letter, by mail, in separation. And so this is, and then I got my this service of teaching in separation also after Prabhupada left. 1994, I was in Vrindavan, and I was praying for service. I didn't know what service, what am I going to do? I was pujari, then book distributor, and then I had my son, 7 years, I took care of him. Now he's in Guruku. Now what? Now what do they do? And I thought, okay, until I know what I'm supposed, what service, I'm just going to chant. I did japa reform, and also I was reading, because that's what I like to do. So after 3 months, really trying to chant attentively, I got inspired. I got inspired by Krishna. Okay, now you've been reading the book so many times, now you should teach and share what you have learned. Because when I was in India, we didn't have any books. I was in Calcutta, and people were coming through to Mayapur for the Gaur Purnima Festival, and I would see somebody with a book under their arm, and I would beg for it. And I got the whole set of Chaitanya Charitamrita and Bhagavatam in that way, just by begging from the devotees. So that was cool. But anyway, so what am I supposed to do? So I got that inspiration. I should teach. Okay, but I need some more confirmation from Prabhupada. So I went to Prabhupada's samadhi, and there was a tape of Prabhupada. Prabhupada was saying, "You think the deity is made of stone?" I was looking at Prabhupada. I said, no, you're here, but I would like some personal more confirmation. So then I got inspired to go to his house. So in those days, in Prabhupada's house, every day they would have a letter in front of Srila Prabhupada. And I thought, well, maybe they would change it every day. And I went to see what's in that letter. Maybe he says something. In the letter, he said, "Now you are one of my senior disciples. I am depending on you. You have learned the art of Krishna consciousness. Now you should teach it purely for the benefit of others." I said, okay, got to teach the order of Prabhupada. No place to teach. Vyayachi was for men, and women couldn't speak in the temple. So I started teaching in my house. Well, it's my house. It was the lay member's house. And the chokidars said, no, this is a private house. You can't have people here after 3 months. So then I went on the roof of the Krishna Balaram guest house, and I was teaching up there the rest of the year. And then I moved. Then we got, by the mercy of Shesha and Madhumati, got a house, and I was teaching there for 2 years. and after 3 years teaching outside, they started the women's bhakti shastri. And after 1 year, teaching there, I started traveling all over the world. And so what I learned is you get the order of the guru. It doesn't matter if you have any place to do it or anything. You just do it, You don't need any arrangements. You got the order. So that's how we were in the early days. It didn't matter if we had money, we didn't have money, we had place, we didn't have place. We just did it. And so that I learned from that. You just do it and then see what happened. Krishna, you take one step to Krishna and Krishna takes 10 steps to you. So, and then I started traveling all over the world teaching after just 1 year in VIHE. Anyway, so... we should try to strengthen our relationship with Srila Prabhupada. He's here. You can pray to him. You can talk to him. And he will help you. So I'll stop here. If you have any questions, comments, you can ask.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class.
Oh,
I remember when Srila Prabhupada was residing in Radha Damodar Temple.
In where? Durban.
Radha Damodar Temple. He was like a bhajanandi in Radha Damodar Temple.
Oh, Damodar.
And Radha also preparing for his preaching mission.
Right.
So there was an old lady, she used to fetch water from... Yeah, you know it, right?
Yeah.
So Prabhupada open the door of the temple sometimes because early morning nobody was there. And Prabhupada said, for this service, she's going back to Godhead.
Yeah. When she was leaving her body, she was actually living in the house upstairs, Shesha's house upstairs. She lived up there. She didn't leave her body there, but she was living there for some time when she was very about to die.
My question to you is your 7 years of deity worship. So what is the sum and substance? I mean, a takeaway for someone.
What's the question?
The sum and substance of the deity worship experience you've
got. Oh, sum and substance. Oh, well, okay. Well, my experience is I was worshiping the deity 20 hours a day and sleeping 4 hours. So my experience is, well, the most important thing, of course, was stressed by Prabhupada was cleanliness, punctuality, and devotion. So, yes, so we tried for punctuality, and cleanliness was very difficult because we didn't have any water, basically, hardly, the whole day, and electricity, mostly. So without water, you can't do the best. When there was a flood, we had absolutely no water for 2 weeks, no electricity and no water, except certain parts of the floor were electric. If you walked on them, you'd get a shock. So that was our flood experience for 2 weeks. In 1978. So my experience was, it was kind of like an emergency situation at that point. And every day you have to expect something to happen. You can't be rigid. You have to be flexible. It's like, you know, doing deity worship out at Kumbh Mela or something. But we still tried to be punctual, and we tried to be clean and devotion. And one thing I felt like, you know, Krishna was there with me, and that's why I could do it. You know, people would say, how can you live in Calcutta? I was on the floor, you know, on straw mat. How can you live here? I said, I'm not in Calcutta. I'm with Krishna. So I got that feeling that I was with Krishna because I was with him 20 hours. I was the chokidar too, because we didn't have one. And so I had to be with the deities always. One time this big fat lady, she used to come and throw soap at the deities. I mean, that was her offering, but I didn't appreciate it. So I remember dragging her down the stairs as chokidar. So we learned that Krishna is there, and I had that experience. Our temple president, Gargamuni, he would take pictures of our deities, show them to Indian people, and on the basis of those pictures, they would become life members. But one time, Gargamuni, he took a picture, and then 2 minutes later, he took another picture of the deities, their faces. And then he looked, he said, hey, their faces changed. I said, yeah, they're changing every second, but you just don't see it. So the deities, they reciprocate, they're with you. They you know, you're with them, and they're with you. And you belong to them, and they belong to you. We felt very possessive, my husband and I, over those deities. And we're thinking of kidnapping them. But we didn't. They're too big. Anyway, and we had no money anyway. Where are we going to go? But, so if you get really close to the deities, then you are really with Krishna. But, of course, it's only Prabhupada's mercy. And he used to come, and he would appreciate the deity worship. Main thing with us was flowers. We had every day donated for Gaur, Radha, Govinda, and Jagannath deities 50 garlands every day. And I would change the flowers 5 times a day. I would change. And every day during Shringar, at 1 hour, I would bathe in dressed deities, and the second hour, I would buy flowers. 144 lotuses every day. 144 roses every day. And we had all the types of flowers. 4 kinds of champa, gardenias, jasmine, and we had roses, and we had everything. All mogra. We had all those flowers, and Prabhupada liked that. And it was very sweet smell when you come in the temple. 50 garlands. So then one day I was dressing deities, and people brought me more garlands. And so I did a whole thing. The whole altar was just like, you couldn't see the altar. It was only garlands. Even lotus garlands we had, too. Big, big lotus like your head. 144. Every day, fresh. So Prabhupada, he came for darshan with a bunch of sannyasis, I think from Mayapur, on the way to Mayapur, probably leaving Mayapur. So then he called us up to his Vyasa, my husband and I, And he said, thank you for dressing the deity so nicely. And then after that happened, one sannyasi came to us and he said, that was Guru Kripa Maharaj. He said, did you hear what Prabhupada said when you offered obeisance? We said, no. And he said, be blessed. Oh, wow. We're blessed. Okay. But we can't retire at the age of 25, right? Or 27. we have to get, next day we have to earn the blessings again. And we got it one day. But now we have to do it every day, get the blessings again and again. You have to keep doing it. So deity worship, another thing was with our deities, we had a window, open window in back of the deities. And every day, so many things would fly in, birds. The birds would just circumambulate the temple. And we would get bees, big bumblebees, would come to Radha Govinda. And they would sit in the lotus flowers. They would circumambulate, about two of them, every day, and sit in the lotus flowers. And then the big bees. And then on Jagannath's site, small bees would come and sit on the garlands. Just like I was reading Third Canto at that time, it said, the bees are sitting on the garlands. And I said, yeah, we got it here. It's right here, it's happening. And so Prabhupada appreciated the flowers very, very much. And these flowers are, they're up to the standard of Vrindavan. Vrindavan, because I live half in Vrindavan and half here. I mean, a lot of time here. They're very beautiful. So the flowers are very important in deity worship. Thing is, when we first started the deity worship, they had no clothes, hardly, not nice clothes. So then we just started getting flowers to cover up the clothes. So, but then after we made a lot of clothes, made like 56 sets. And 15 sets of jewelry. But anyway, yeah, the deity worship, it was quite amazing. You know, you really, you feel like you're in the spiritual world, basically, if you are really, you know, with the deities all the time. I mean, here, I don't know, because it's like, okay, one day you're here and 2 days you're not. And, you know, we had 24/7 for years. We never got a vacation. I go to temples now, oh, it's my vacation today. Oh, really? We didn't get one. We never got a vacation. It's like, oh, what to do? All right, any other question? Yes? Ekadashi Vrat.
Hare Krishna. Maybe this is an unanswerable question or silly, but I just wonder about the maid servants, because this is Kardama Muni. He created everything from his mystic power,
right?
But it's not just, you know, this building. They're also living entities,
yeah,
like the swans, and now these ladies. So I'm just wondering how, I don't know, where do they come from?
No, yogis can do that. Yeah, they don't need to, you know, they can create anything by mystic powers. Brahma, of course, he did that. You know, one came out of his thumb, one came out of his ears, and, you know, it started with Brahma. And one, and out of his nose came Varaha. And so, if, you know, it's mystic, he was high up there with mystic powers. So if you're really up there, you can have kids. You can have whatever you want, you know. Why not? Where did they come from? Yeah, they were, yeah, who knows? They had a good birth there, I think. And then, not only that, they were traveling in the airplane. When he made the airplane, I believe they also had maid servants up there, too. And I believe they stayed with her after. I can't remember exactly, but I think so. They said, yeah, why not? Where do we all come from, you know? I mean, of course, we come in a different way, but but yogis can do that. Yogis, yeah, why not?
Thank you. And I have one other question.
Sure.
You were speaking in the beginning about how being dependent on Krishna and how wherever you go, you find people that help you, and it's like Krishna's mercy. And I'm wondering if there's, not in your case, of course, but just, is there a possibility that sometimes a person is being irresponsible? You know, like, is there a line kind of between depending on Krishna and being irresponsible.
Can you give me an example that would help? You have an example? Okay, wait, you want it? Oh, okay. Hold on.
We heard devotees come to Vrindavan.
Hare
Krishna.
Yeah, there you go.
Devotees came to Vrindavan when we were living there, and they gave away all their possessions, and they just wanted to depend on Krishna then.
I know one. He threw his passport in the river. one of our devotees. He threw his passport in the river. In Ganga, I think it was Ganga. that's an example of being irresponsible. Yeah, I can give you an example from my life. Devotees sometimes think they're beyond the laws of nature. So when I arrived in Moscow the first time, and the only time, I think, I had a driver. Well, first thing he did was leave me in the car all alone. And all of a sudden, the car siren started going off. And here I was in Russia, oh my God, what are people going to do to me? And then the second thing he did was, when we were driving, there was a traffic jam. So what did he do? He drove on the sidewalk where the people were. I said, listen, it's okay. I'm not in a hurry. And then I found out his name was Yamaraj. So that's my experience of irresponsibility. It's true. Depending on Krishna, they sometimes think depending means, no, we can go beyond the laws. It doesn't matter. We are devotees. Huh? And devotee in the early days would do that a lot. Take all the flowers from the park, whatever. Yeah, thanks for that example. Any other questions? I don't see any more questions. Okay. Jai Gaurisprabhupada, Hare Krishna.